Hi, my name is Michael Wolford. I'm 17 years old. Today is the 22nd of November. And this is being recorded in Centerville, Utah. And you are?
James Bruce Messick. I'm 49 years old.
All right. So you used to be a race car driver, yeah?
That's correct.
How did you end up as a race car driver?
Well, I always wanted to drive a race car. Even before I could drive a car, I thought it looked cool. And after I got my driver's license, I never did it. And then finally, I got introduced to driving it by a local club where you could bring your own family car and drive it on a course. It was a local grassroots sports car club called the Sports Car Club of America. And this happened in Great Falls, Montana. But they have this Sports Car Club of America is called SCCA, and they're throughout the whole United States. And it's really cheap to get started. And that's how I got introduced to it. And after one run, I was hooked. It's just too much fun. That's how it started. And then I stayed with it for many years and got better at it. And then I became the president of the sports car club for 5 years. And then finally, I couldn't be the president anymore. I had a business to run, so made somebody else do it. That's it. How I did it. Still doing it sometimes. Everybody can do it. You have to have a driver's license. No, actually, that's not true. You don't have to have a driver's license. You can do it at 15. If you know how to drive. Yeah. Any other questions?
What advice would you give to your teenage self, if any?
Like when I was 17?
Sure.
I would say don't worry about what other people think. I think I used to be too concerned with how other people thought or saw me. And if I was to tell myself, my 17-year-old self, I'd say, don't worry about what anybody thinks about you. Just do your own thing. Don't try to fit in, all that stuff. Yeah. That and I'd just leave it at that. Yeah. If I think of something else, I'll bring it up, but that's all I can think of.
So I know from talking to you before that you were, let's just say, as a kid, you were not the most well-behaved.
No, I was not.
What was some of the worst things you did?
That I did?
Like, I remember smoke bombs into people's garages.
Oh, that was definitely not the worst.
Oh, boy.
That time, that happened when I was still a good kid, really. I was 10 or 12, and I had this friend, this is when we lived in Arizona, and my best friend was named David Arnett. He was a real rich kid, but he was the youngest. And his older brother showed us how to make smoke bombs. Should I tell you how to make one? You can't buy this stuff anymore. So
sure.
Just say it. So, back in the day, you could go to the drugstore and buy sulfur and saltpeter. And if you didn't have any sulfur, you could use sugar. The sulfur or the sugar was an oxidizer. And the saltpeter was what they called it, but it had a different chemical name. which I don't know. Anyway, we take equal parts of saltpeter and sulfur, or sugar, and put it in tin foil, and you can make a little ball out of it. Then you have these matches that you can strike anywhere in the light. You stick those all the way around it in kind of a circle, and then put more tin foil around that. And when you want to light your smoke bomb, all you do is just strike it on the sidewalk and throw it really quick, and it'll smoke. The time you're talking about, we threw it, and it went into this kid's garage. His name was Jimmy Davis. And it stopped and went right up against the wall. And when those smoke bombs go off, they do make a lot of smoke, but they also make a lot of fire. And it burned a pretty good sized hole in the wall, but it didn't burn the house down or anything. But yeah, that wasn't so bad. I thought you meant like when I was 18 or 19, 13 even. Is that what you meant? You don't know about that stuff.
But it's like asking, but I don't know if I want it now.
Well, I can tell you.
Sure.
So, like, when I was 17, I had some pretty good friends that were punkers. Do you know what a punker is?
Not really.
So, punkers were social misfits. We didn't believe in the government. We were anarchists. We didn't believe in authority at all. We had mohawks. Westward, you know what a mohawk is, or some kind of weird haircut. We wore clothes that looked like your parents would never let you wear, and we had our ears pierced, and back then that was very uncommon, and we listened to terrible music, which was awesome. I still listen to that music today. So we just, you know, we're telling the world to screw off. We were being young, wild, crazy kids. We did some crazy stuff, mostly because we lived in Utah then. So we're in Utah now. We lived in Battleford, Utah, but we'd skip school. We just cut class and go to Salt Lake, ride the bus in Salt Lake so we can drive, and just hang out in the streets of Salt Lake. And then when I was 17, I moved out and for summer. Because my mom and dad and I weren't getting along because I didn't want to. And, that was wild. I had my own apartment before I graduated in high school. I came back. Of course, when you're a teenager with an apartment, all the bad kids come over to the place. I had parties every night. And then, right when high school was starting, for my senior year, I moved back home, finished school, and then I left. I was on my own after that. So, it didn't even really bad. I mean, it didn't hurt anybody or anything like that. Never.
Any vandalism?
Sure. Did some of that, you know, spray paint stuff. And, that reminds me of a good story. When I lived in Arizona, when I was 8, I had a paper out. Back in those days, when you had a paper out, as a paper boy, you had to get up early, meet the paper truck, and just throw a bunch of papers in the stack. And you had to sit there and fold them all, and then you put them on your bike, and then you go deliver them, all before anybody woke up. I get home, and everybody's still asleep. Anyway, when you meet the paper truck, there'd be other paper boys that had different routes that meet there too. And there's this one kid that I kind of liked, but I wanted to play a prank on him. So one night, my brother and I had two friends sleeping over, and we decided to go to him. I knew his house, where his house was. We decided we're going to vandalize his house with toilet paper. Have you heard of this? Toilet paper in someone's house? Kids still do that today?
Not really, but it's like everyone knows an example of it. It's just...
So there was four of us, and this kid had cactuses in his front yard. So we'd wrap the toilet paper around the cactus, We wrapped it around and did all this stuff. And all of a sudden, his garage door went straight up. And standing right there was a cop. His dad was a cop. And he caught us. And so we ran away. And my brother and I got away. But our two friends that were sleeping over, both of them got caught. Where do you think they told the cop where they lived?
At your house.
At my house. And so Rob and I are already home, not knowing, hiding in the bedroom, not knowing what's going to happen, when knock, knock, knock. And my dad had to go answer the door, who wasn't asleep. And there was the cop in his uniform with his cop car and my, our two friends. And we didn't get arrested, but we had to go back and pick up all the toilet paper.
Cool.
All of it. That was sucked. So that was the last time we got hot toilet paper in someone's house. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a gravel, but when you get older, you kind of grow out of that stuff for the most part. You know, I don't have a mohawk now.
So what was it like being the oldest sibling? Could you push Rob around?
No, well, no, not too much. Sometimes, maybe a little bit. He's not here, so. I do remember not so much pushing Rob around, but pushing Danny and Billy and Becky around, because I had to take care of them. There was one time that we were on a family vacation, and Mom and Dad told me to make sure that Danny, Billy, and Becky ate their cereal for breakfast. We were camping on vacation. So when they got up, I said, told them to sit down, put some cereal in a bowl, get some milk in there, and you had to eat it all, everything. And they started to do it, and then they started giggling at me and laughing. And I yell at them, quit that laughing! Eat your cereal! And then one of them, they just sit there, and then Danny would take a bite and make a face, and then Becky and Billy would laugh and point at him. And Danny, come here.
Yeah.
And finally, they ate all the cereal. I'm talking about when you were little, about this big.
Yeah.
And I made you and Billy and Becky eat the cereal.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
No, I don't believe it.
We were camping on our trip.
Oh, outside camping?
Yeah, on this road trip. We went all over the place. And anyhow, after they ate all their cereal, I decided to have breakfast myself. Turns out, the milk had gone bad. The milk was spoiled. And it was really sour. And that's why they were laughing at me. And then I felt bad. I made them eat it all. They did, though.
Wow.
And I didn't eat mine after I tasted that milk. But they didn't tell me the milk was bad, or if they did, I was told them to be quiet. We're talking. Eat your cereal.
That sounds right. That's a funny story, huh?
Did I push you around when I was the older brother and you were a little kid?
Not really pushing you around.
I locked you in the bedroom one time.
Yeah. I remember
I had a party when my mom and dad were gone in my house. But, and I had a lot of teenage kids over. But I was stuck with my little brothers and sister there too. So I locked them in my mom and dad's bedroom. So dad couldn't come out. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they were peeking out through the window because we're outside inside.
I remember something else.
Tell us.
I wanted you to bring me water because I was thirsty, and you brought me water, and you had to me, and I could smell cigarette smoke.
Oh, yeah. We were smoking and drinking.
Yeah.
That's not a surprise.
So I was like, oh, no, it's your smoking. Yeah.
Yeah, I started smoking when I was probably 16.
Yeah. I was in junior high when someone offered me cigarette smoke.
Well, when I was a kid, it was cool, but it's not. I don't want kids to do that now or not.
Not really cool anymore.
Not?
No.
You sure?
would you know?
Well,
you're too old.
Well, no, I work with those kids.
Yeah.
I work with kids.
Yeah.
So I remember that really scary thing. I don't remember who did this. Mom used to have a face head.
Yeah,
like
styrofoam head.
Well, styrofoam head.
Yeah.
And she put wigs on it. And there was a hole, and like where the neck would be, to
yeah.
Cut the head, right? So we were in my parents' bedroom, and then Jim, I think the rock put a broomstick on that hole at nighttime in the ski goggles. And yeah, made it look really scary. And came and knocked on the back window. We went and looked out the back window, and all of a sudden this head popped up.
Freaky.
That was good.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. So. No, then when I got to be. Is this supposed to be like a life story kind of thing?
Kind of. Well,
yeah.
Just interesting stories from your life.
Oh, okay. Well, so. When I was at that age where we were just talking about, I didn't get along too well with mom and dad, so we didn't talk too much. And then I moved out on my own. And I started working for a guy. Should I close that? Is that too loud?
No, don't get it.
So I worked for a guy who had an automotive repair business called Import Auto. I was 18. I was 18 years old. No, I was 17. Take it back. I was 17 when I started there. And I ended up working on the cars with him. And then when I was 18, almost 19, I bought the business from him. That was my first business. And I changed the name to Jim's Import Auto Service. And I ran that business for a little over 3 years and then sold it. And I met this girl from Holland named Petra. And it's funny how life works, because if I hadn't met her and sold the business, I never would have gone to Amsterdam for 4 years. I went there and lived there for 4 years. We got married and came back. And, living in Holland was interesting, too. Because I had to speak Dutch when I got there. And I worked there for 4 years with Dutch guys. Met a lot of interesting people from all over the world who came there. People from Israel, Jewish people, Muslims. From Morocco. Yeah. That was cool. Opened my eyes.
So, I think I remember you telling us a story about, like, this, like, huge guy you met in the Netherlands.
Yes. Micha Peters. Micha is M-I-C-H-A. No, it's an E. It sounds like an A, but it's an E. M-I-C-H-E. Micha was huge. He was like as round as a tree. And he was in the Israeli army. Before I met him, he was in the Israeli army. And he was in the squad. He carried a great big machine gun. Now this is his job. And back in those days, Israel and Palestine were fighting, warring every day, all the time. But they were trying to make these new rules. So if Micha's team was being attacked, they couldn't just shoot back. They had to get permission first to shoot back. And he had some war stories. He was a little bit messed up in the head sometimes. But I remember one of his stories, this guy, and what brought him to living in the Netherlands, is he was walking alongside a building, and the guy came out from one of the alleyways behind him and stabbed him in the back. And he reached over his back and broke the guy's neck. And then his buddies got him on a helicopter and to a hospital somewhere. And after that injury, he was out of the Army. And then he met a Dutch girl. They got married. And he came to live in Amsterdam. And that's where I met him for the first time. He was a nice guy, but he's a little bit nuts, too. I think from being in the war. Did I tell you any stories about him that I didn't mention?
I can't remember any.
Yeah, one time we had, so I ended up working for this place in Holland called America Today, and eventually I ran the distribution center, which is just a warehouse, and we had somebody in the warehouse that worked for us that was stealing, and we were going to fire him because we caught him, and we asked Mika, because this guy that was stealing was also kind of dangerous and violent. And we asked Mika if he'd come to the meeting with us in case this guy got out of line. And Mika said, can't do it. He says, the only thing I can do is kill him. I can't just grab and hold on to him. So I just know I don't know how to not do that. So we didn't invite Mika to the meeting. And then it went fine. The guy got fired and he just left. That was interesting living there in Holland. It'd be different today. So, yeah. And now we live in Great Falls, Montana, and for the last 13 years I've run my own business. That's powder coating. I just fell into that business. Yeah. Any other questions?
You were into like scale modeling cars as a kid, right?
I loved it. That was my favorite thing to do as a kid. Well, mostly not cars. I like to build tanks and airplanes. Mostly airplanes, but also tanks. I was never as good at doing the cars, but I did that when I was probably from the time I was 7. Until I was 15 or so, I built models every day, most of the time. Not every day, but I worked on them every day. I take a long time to build one. It takes weeks. I entered them in contests. I would have got first place one time, but I made one mistake on the tank barrel. I built a Sherman tank, and on the end of the barrel, they have this model. Had a little like flash suppressor, and I put it on there, but I put it on upside down. You can hardly tell, but if you're a tank guy, you know those things. And so I got second place instead of first place.
Cool.
And I made a real cool diorama. I had three guys in it. The tank was parked, and one guy sitting there on top of the tank smoking a cigarette. I made the cigarette and everything on. I made the ground from scratch. Styrofoam and different things. I had water on that one. A little creek running through it. But yeah, that was a fun hobby. I think probably doing all those things as a kid probably helps a lot now with the powder coating, because that takes a lot of detail to do that right. So
what is powder coating?
Powder coating, it's called powder coating because it's a dry powder. It was developed in the 1950s, but it never really caught on until now. And so you put it on metal, it's electrostatically applied, which means you have a dry powder, and then you put a charge on the powder, and you put a ground on the metal. And because the powder is charged, it's got an extra electron, basically. It wants to shed the electron, so it's attracted to the ground. And you just spray the charged powder to the metal, it has a ground, and the powder will stick to the metal. And then when you get it built up, you roll it in the oven, and you melt the powder to a liquid. It just bonds to the metal. And it's great because way better, it's more durable than any paint you can buy, and it's environmentally friendly. There's no volatile organic compounds, VOCs, and whatever lands on the ground, is a class 3 non-hazardous waste. You can just throw in the garbage. So it doesn't pollute, and it lasts forever. Not really forever, but it lasts a long time. And yeah, that's what it is. So you'll see a lot more, but pretty much everywhere you go, I mean, if there's anything metal, like this is probably powder-coated. Your shopping carts, when you go to the grocery store, if they're made out of metal, they're powder-coated. All your patio furniture is powder-coated. Anything metal is powder-coated nowadays. And it's actually cheaper than paint, too. It's not expensive. Yeah?
Yeah, was there like a teacher or an adult that had a big impact on your life while you were growing up?
I'll tell you, one person that had the biggest impact on my life, I only met for 5 minutes. Had the biggest impact on my life. Well, a long time ago, our full family, 7 of us, went on a road trip. My mom and dad wanted to take us to the East Coast and see everything in the East on our summer vacation. I thought it lasted 3 months, but my mom told me it only lasted 3 weeks. But anyhow, and this same trip as the one where my brother and sister had to eat that cereal. We camped the whole way. Because that's the only thing we could do is camp, otherwise we couldn't take this trip. And we went to this camp. I don't know if it's ever been like this for anyone listening, but we've been together, 7 people in a van, camping for weeks on weeks. We started to get a little bit grouchy, you could say. On this one day, we got to the campground and had a swimming pool, and I wanted to go swimming. However, I had to get all the luggage off the roof of the Vanagon first. It was a Volkswagen Vanagon, it was a bus, a Volkswagen bus. And so I pulled in the van, the suitcase down, it slipped and smacked me right in the head. And I got mad and I punched the van, put a big dent in it. My dad just bought this van only to go on this trip, and he was going to sell it afterwards. He saw me punch the van, so he got mad. And I guess these things happened. He tried to punch me. And it ended up that we kind of had a fight, not a fight, but kind of a fight. And I was sad, and I went to another campsite that was empty and just sat down. And I was sitting there all by myself. And I met somebody. Big black guy, and I've never talked to a black person in my life at that point. He saw the whole thing that happened, and he walked over, and he sat down right next to me, and told me that these things happened, and you should definitely forgive your dad for what he was doing, and everything was going to be okay, and not to worry about it. And that changed my life, because I never talked to a black person, and it totally changed my life. I changed it. I ended up, from that point on, thinking about things, kind of changing the way I thought, and just, yeah. Yeah. But as far as the teacher goes...
Did you have a favorite teacher?
Not really. I didn't like I hated school. I hated it. I liked it when I went to college, but when I was in high school, I hated going to school. I never really had a favorite school teacher or a scoutmaster. I love scouts, but I can't think of one teacher I liked. I didn't hate them, but I didn't like them.
Did you have like a favorite professor in college?
Yes. Yes, I did. My favorite, when I was in high school, my grades were not good. But when I was in college, I got A's in every single class except for one. And that one class had my favorite teacher, and she gave me a B in biology. And I can't remember her name, but she was a hard, hard teacher. But I learned a lot in her class. In fact, I transferred from an easy class into her class with her permission. Because the teacher I had before that, I wasn't learning very much. And within the first week, I transferred in. By the end of that school year, the class I transferred into, half the students had quit, dropped out, took no grade. Because she was hard. She wouldn't let anybody slide for nothing. And I just liked science. I liked her biology. And I liked to learn. She was a really good teacher. But I sure can't remember her name. It was in Denver. Went to school in Denver. Yeah. Another question?
A couple more. Is there an experience or memory that you would like to relive?
No. Relive?
Or like just be able to experience what you felt again?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if I'd do it though. Skydiving was pretty cool. But it's also pretty scary. It seems kind of stupid. Really. I don't know. It was pretty neat and a rush. But I could do that, but I don't think I would do it. Other than that, I remember when I was real little, riding the sled was pretty cool. My brother and I would go down to Snake Canyon and we'd take most of the day to hike up, but we ride our sleds through these little deer trails in between the trees. There was nobody else there, and we'd ride our sled down there. I don't know, it's partly because you were a little kid. We lived in the sea. I was seven. It was before we moved to college. We lived in Utah, in Sandy, Utah. Or somewhere. I think it was Sandy, Utah. We only lived in that house for a couple of years. Yeah. But, you know, it's probably a lot cooler just thinking about it than I want to go do that today. No, I don't want to do that. And plus, that place is gone anyway. There's homes there. Yeah. That's all I can think of.
So it's Thanksgiving, so I basically have to ask this question. What are you most grateful for or thankful for?
Most grateful for? Well, I think that changes sometimes, but I think I'm most grateful that, you know, there's so much tragedy you see in the world, and I've never had to experience any loved ones dying or, you know, any floods or earthquakes or hurricanes, forest fires, none of that. I'm grateful I've had a pretty kind of, I'm grateful that all my loved ones are, that they're all accounted for and doing well. That's the most important thing.
Do you have any regrets?
Tons.
That's like the most substantial.
Yeah. Well, there's a story you probably don't want to hear, but I had a hard time in 2008 getting divorced. And firing all my employees, it's just a very stressful time. and I was on some antidepressants, they didn't work well, and I attempted suicide. So that's pretty regretful. Changed my life forever since then. But shit happens. But I won't go into detail other than what I just said, because that's a sad story.
How would you like to be remembered?
I don't know. I don't think you should remember me. I don't care how I'm remembered. It really matters. I'm just gonna be do the things I know that are right and be a good person, treat people right. And if that's worth remembering, then good. But I don't have an answer really.
So we have like 5 to 8 minutes left in this time filler. I think I'll. Could I tell you some things that Grandma said when I interviewed her last year?
Alright.
Specifically about how she raised you, and see if that lines up with what you lived through.
Sure.
Let's see. She said she didn't... that scolding / lecturing was her most used form of punishment.
Yeah. I got in trouble a lot. I think we were raised good, myself. And if we were really bad, we might use our spanking. But that was back in those days, that's what everybody did that. All my friends. Everybody got a spanking. I don't know. I never spanked my kids, ever. I never have. And now, I don't think anybody really does spankings anymore. I don't think. But, I mean, we got lectures all the time. we did bad. My brothers and sisters and I mean, we made mistakes, so. We're pretty strict. But not too strict. I think Mom, Grandma did a great job.
I'm assuming your dad did most of the spanking.
It was his job.
Yeah, with a belt?
It happened.
That's what I heard from my mom.
Yes, it happened. And that was when we were really bad. Because I can remember Rob and I both in need of a spanking. And Rob might not like this, but... even when my dad started taking his belt off, he started crying before the spanking. But I can't even remember what we did. I'm sure it was pretty bad. But I can't remember. Yeah. What else did you ask her?
Let's see. Well, about concerning you guys, not that much, actually. Oh, yeah, did you ever... I heard from my mom that you used to, on road trips, paint or do modeling, in the back of the car.
She remembers that?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a great big station wagon that had front seat, middle seat, and then the station wagon in the back had 2 fold-up seats. They fold out from the middle, and you had to sit side to side to the front and back. I used to take the whole area up myself, and on these long road trips, I'd just sit there and paint my little models, mostly painting, because I had a brush and, the models I remember doing right now were for my model train, HO scale train, and I was painting the little people that were sitting in the park or going in and out of stores. That went around my model. I'm surprised she remembers that. She was little.
I'd be pretty scared to paint in the car.
I had just a little teeny cans of paint, bottles of paint. I was real careful.
I'd probably mess up.
So I'm sure if they weren't as good as they'd be if I wasn't in the car, but, you know, we didn't have Game Boys back then. They still have Game Boys, don't they? Whatever those things are.
They still have, Nintendo still makes handheld stuff, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old were you when you moved to the Netherlands and back?
Let's see. I was 21. And I was 22 when I moved there. I might have even been 23. I know, I was 24 when I lived there. We were there for 4 years. So I even came back when I was 28. So I must have been 24, 5, 6, 8. Yeah. Yeah. And I was only going to stay there 1 year. Then I was coming back. But I stayed for four. That was a neat experience. Completely different culture and everything. Completely different.
You were just in Amsterdam, right?
Right downtown Amsterdam. On a street called Westerzijde. It was noisy. Really noisy. I didn't sleep for a month. But we rode our bicycles from Amsterdam to Basel, Switzerland. Right from our apartment, front door of our apartment, right to Basel, Switzerland. Took 10 days, right there. And camp the whole time, hot camping. There's tents, sleeping bags. Went run our bikes through. Started in the Netherlands, Holland, and then rode to Germany, down through Belgium, into France, and then into Switzerland. It was a neat trip. All kinds of weird, cool stuff you'd never see if you're in a car, driving a car, or a train. Like World War II history, I left out Luxembourg. We were in Luxembourg. Luxembourg is like a teeny, teeny country, and it's got these mountains that come straight down to the valley. And we were riding our bikes through a farmer's field, not in the field, but by, and I saw a German pillbox. You know what a pillbox is? Right in the field. Concrete pillbox. And I was like, wow, that's from World War II. They built that, and they had it. There was nobody in it. I mean, this is old stuff. But it made it so if the attacking force was coming up, it had to come right up through this valley. And this pillbox is right there. Saw stuff like that all the time, though. It was a neat trip.
All right, I think we're done.
Cool. Can I help you out?
Yeah.